What is going on, beautiful people? Peace and love, and welcome back to the podcast. We are back at it again with episode 3 of The Blind Perspective. Now, before we jump into today's topics, make sure you guys go like, share, and subscribe. Hit the bell for the notifications wherever you guys are listening. And make sure you guys go follow the Instagram at @the_blindperspective. And I'll give you a couple seconds to do all that. Okay. Like, share, subscribe. Alright, cool. Now let's dive right the fuck into episode 3, people. So, a couple of updates with me. I started doing some deep dive reading once again into my comic books, specifically The Walking Dead. Now, I'm not actually reading them. This is like described like audio comic books. It's kind of hard to explain. It's on YouTube. It's like I believe the YouTube channel is The Walking Bread. It's actually a really cool fucking YouTube channel. He actually does a really good job. Shout out to The Walking Bread if he's listening to this. The Walking Bread. I'm actually reading The Walking Dead comics, and I'm also doing The Uncanny X-Men, and I'm starting. It's kind of hard because I gotta go from YouTube because it's hard to find comic books where I get my audiobooks. Other than that, I had a couple of blind moments when I was grocery shopping. So I ran straight into one of like those little display aisles that they have, like kind of like just lurking in the aisles, you know, like on those little cardboard displays. Ran right into that shit. It was like shampoos and shit all over the floor. Just kept walking because, I mean, I'm blind. Like, and I feel like those personally, like those things and those big support poles that they have in the middle of the lanes or the aisles, bro, I feel like those are a middle finger to the blind specifically, and people with wheelchairs too, because that's got to be hard to navigate when you're trying to shop. Like, that's going to be, oh, that's got to be hard. But when I'm walking and I'm like moving, because I have a tendency to walk real fast, like I have a tendency to walk like I'm Darth Vader, like, dun, 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 yeah, that type of speed. And when I see that, I just get, like, in fear, like, why are you here? And it's just so goddamn infuriating, people. You have no idea. Like, literally, the Red Hulk in me is about to come out and just, oh, yeah. And just, you can tell, I'm clearly a Marvel fan. Marvel gang for life. Anyway, some other blind moment that I had was at the gym. I was at a different machine because everybody and their mother was at the gym. And so I was at, I believe, the elliptical, right? And I normally just like fold up my cane, but I just kind of tossed it because I was just not in the mood. And, you know, I had my music on. I just turned on the machine. I kept going. Get off like an hour and 5 later, like an hour and 5 minutes later, and I'm wiped down the machine because it's like right within like reaching distance, and I'm looking around for my cane, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking like a chicken with my head cut off, because like I can't see, like I can't, because I gotta walk home. This is gonna be difficult because I don't want to Uber home. That's unnecessary money. So I'm walking around. I'm passing the same spot like 2 or 3 times. And until someone, a kind gentleman, is like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm blind. So here's the thing. And I'm explaining to him the situation. So he kindly gets off his machine. And we're both looking for it. 2 minutes later, he comes around the corner. He's like, found it, rolled under the machine. It rolled right under the fucking machine. Did the blind guy think to check under the machine that had a space? Nope, didn't even think. So that was another blind moment. But, you know, it's moments like that, like walking into things and making a mess, and you just gotta laugh at those things. Like, when I ran into that display, I was like, clean up in aisle 12, and just kept walking. I just kept walking. I was laughing the whole time. Honestly, it's moments like that that you have to reflect on whether you are in, no matter what state that you are in, like, there is always a brighter side to things. There's always a brighter side to things. Always remember that. And every situation, it could always be worse. Now, mind you, it wasn't always like this. Like, if it was a couple of years ago, I probably would have not been so cool, calm, and collected, and not been so, ha, 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 we're just gonna laugh through it. I probably would have been like, ah, and just been kicking the fucking bottles left and right. But, you know, growth, you know, growth. We grow as people. Other than that, not too much updates are going on with me. I'm just working on, you know, staying connected to the people that, you know, really are important to me. I was actually just texting a couple of friends that I was with in high school and just, like, just telling them. Because, like, if you don't tell people how much, like, you appreciate them from time to time, words are not wording today, people. I apologize. Then, you know, it's just that the thought of just saying it just once in a while, it really does mean a lot. So, you know, make sure you let your friends know how much you appreciate them. And, make sure you tell somebody you appreciate them. And smile at them, too. Make someone's day today. Switching topics. So, I know this is a bit late, but the Grammys happened, and some shenanigans went down, but that's gonna go more in my final thoughts. I'm not gonna hit you with all the awards, I'm just gonna hit you with the so-called highlights, and we're just gonna move on from there. So, for starters, Beyoncé got awarded Album of the Year by the LA County Fire Department. She also received the Best Country Music Award, which was presented to her by Taylor Swift. And she was also nominated 11 times, which was her most times being nominated for a Grammy. Carpenter took home 2 Grammys, as well as Beyoncé was given nominee of the night, apparently. Winning nominee of the evening. Very prestigious, they like to award it, these 13,000 voting members. Also, The Weeknd showed up after a year-long boycott at the award show. No one knows why. I didn't really look into that, but I just thought I'd add that in because I thought that was interesting. And, like, why is it that celebrities will boycott something and then a year later come back to it? Like, ain't nothing changed. Like, nothing's changed. Like, what are you doing? And for those of you who have been living under a rock, Kendrick Lamar took home all 5 of the Grammys for the song Not Like Us, which I thought was cool because it solidified that he was going to play it at the Super Bowl. But what about Euphoria? Like, what about Euphoria? So we're going to now be switching gears into my final thoughts of the Grammys. Now that I hit you guys with some of the facts, you guys can look up the rest. Let me just politely say that 95% of the Grammys gotta be a fucking joke at this point. Like, are we serious? You're meaning to tell me that the year after, or the year before, in 2024, when Jay-Z was saying how Beyoncé never got Album of the Year, the next year, she gets not only Album of the Year, but she also gets all these awards, and she gets, this is the year that she gets the most Grammy nominations? Are you serious? Like, how is this? this gotta be a joke. This shenanigans. And, like, I'm just trying to compile my thoughts to figure out, okay, for one, who are these 13,000 voting members that are voting for these awards? Because nobody knows who these people are. Like, yeah, they're music producers and artists and all that, but we ain't got no names. We don't got, like, a list. We don't got nothing like that. We just... Nobody asks these questions. You see what I'm saying? And it's just... I find it very strange how also, you know, a very, you know... Shout out to the Queen Bee, you know, but you also got a tour going on, and, you know, I'm one for conspiracy theories, so if you're one for conspiracy theories, batten down the hatches and hold on to your hats, people, because we're about to go down, 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 deep. So if I seem a little scattered, it's because I apologize. So, Beyonce getting an award is, you know, it's inevitable. She's been getting awards for years. But everybody who gets an award, you know, that has to do with, like, music, you know, pop, Adele. I could name an artist and they all thank Beyonce for some reason. And, you know, even, you know, the past, you know, this Grammy this year, Miley Cyrus was like, Beyonce, we won. And that was a little weird. And, you know, there's the conspiracy theory that, you know, everyone has to thank Beyonce or, you know, some weird things happen and people get unalived mysteriously. A great example of this is what people believed happened in the conspiracy theory. What happened with the death of Amy Winehouse? Now, what happened was that I don't know all of the details, so, you know, if I get some shit wrong, forgive me, but Amy Winehouse, the year that she died, which was July 23rd, 2011. Unfortunately, she passed away due to blood alcohol poisoning. Now, the conspiracy theory is that if you don't thank Beyonce for an award, you know, wind up in a grave, unfortunately. Now, there have been conspiracy theories that debunk this, and, you know, I'm not saying I believe this, but it adds... Some of these things add up, and also there's the conspiracy that Beyonce, every time Beyonce goes on tour, a musical figure dies. Now, when she went on tour, one year Aretha Franklin died, and it just coincides with certain things, and she just so happened to go on a she called it the Four Intimate Nights of Beyonce tour, and it was a residency promoting her album Four, and Amy Winehouse died with 416 milliliters of alcohol in her system, which if you, like, look at the number, it's zero, it's like 0.4. So it's just like, it when you look at it like that, like, because I look at it from a realistic standpoint, like, all these things happen, and then there's like another part of me that's like, again, it's like Michael Keaton, Bruce Wayne with the spaghetti. It's like there's a string theory to this, and it just makes me think. And, you know, Jay-Z making the comment last year of, oh, Beyonce never got album of the year. And which leads me to my next point. So, you're meaning to tell me that all of a sudden you switch to country out of the blue because you were born in Texas. Don't ever think about making a country album, ever. Then all of a sudden, you make a country album, right? Like, the country music artists don't even want you. Like, and here's another thing that, like, really makes the grim, like, the whole music industry, like, it really does give, like, pure Illuminati symbolism. And yes, I said it, people, and you heard it right. So, it was presented by Taylor Swift, and it was 16 years after the whole Kanye West incident. And, if you know, you know. I mean, Kanye West interrupted Taylor Swift's speech. However, she did not technically thank Beyonce because Kanye did it. So, you know, there was that whole loophole. And if you want to think about it, this is Taylor technically acknowledging Beyonce in her words. Once again, I mean, and it really is a full circle moment, people. Again, I feel like Michael Keaton, Bruce Wayne with a pot full of spaghetti. But, I mean, we're just... it's just, yeah, it was a full circle moment for Tay-Tay and the Queen Bebe. Yeah, full circle moment, but, you know, keep your eyes open, people. But, yeah, congratulations to everybody that made it to the Grammys, and, I mean, did you guys really think that Kendrick wasn't gonna perform Not Like Us at the Super Bowl? When he was carrying them 5 Grammys in a Canadian tuxedo, nonetheless, like, homie was stinging Canada and Drake up and down with, like, Ford Loco and Everclear in both hands. Like, he was not playing around, because if you guys didn't catch it, every time he went up on the stage, he was wearing a Canadian tuxedo, like, goddamn. And sliding into the next topic, we're going to be talking about Super Bowl 59. So, the game was the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. The final score was 40-22, with the Eagles taking the win and the Chiefs unfortunately not getting a three-peat. So, yeah, and according to the stats, this was the biggest halftime deficit for Patrick Mahomes in his career. So that's a little bit of a football stat provided from the Blend Perspective. Make sure you guys go like, share, and subscribe. Thank you. But, you know, once again, congratulations to the Eagles, and congratulations on a W. And, yeah. And speaking of the halftime show, so I'm not going to give the full-on breakdown, because you guys have probably all seen it. I'm just going to give a little schmutz, and then my final thoughts on what I thought about it. And then we're going to slide into the next segment. But yeah, let's dive right into Kendrick Lamar's amazing Super Bowl halftime performance. All right, so we opened up, right, with Samuel Jackson portraying a version of Uncle Sam, which was like a portrayal of the government, and also it was a portrayal on, like, his many characters playing, like, the man and the government and shit like that. And it was also like a big play on his character Steven from Django Unchained, which I really liked, as a matter of fact, because it's one of my favorite Quentin Tarantino movies. So Kendrick Lamar was wearing a Martine Rose jacket with the word Gloria on the front of it, which is the last track. It's the title of the last track on his album, GNX. And it kind of, like, talks about, like, you know, his eternal struggles and, like, putting, like, pen to paper and shit like that. You really got to go check out his last album. It's, like, it's a banger. He had a backwards cap with a $68,000 brooch. He also had on Celine bell-bottom jeans, as well as a silver, or I don't exactly know what color it was. Matter of fact, I just looked it up. It was silver and diamond encrusted, and it was a minor chain. Oh, like, it was fucking perfect. Just the symbolism in that alone. Listen, if Spirit Halloween does not come out with a Kendrick Lamar Super Bowl halftime performance, like, costume by October, like, yo, you guys are missing out, like, because how many people should, oh, man, I could just see so many people rocking that outfit on Halloween. Like, how fucking dope would that be? That and, like, Drake wearing, like, the bulletproof, Drake having the bulletproof vest with the holes through it and the smoke. That'd also be a cool Halloween outfit. If you were doing, like, if you were, like, best friends and doing, like, matching Halloween costumes, that'd be fucking cool. If that does become a Halloween outfit, I want my money. I'm just saying. So the stage was on a PlayStation controller, which was a play on Sony, which owns, like, Drake's music or publishing or whatever. And, like, if you look at the stage, it's like a game console. It's, like, in the shape of a PlayStation controller. Okay, so if you look at how the stage lights up, it's, like, in a certain combination. I can't remember it off the top of my head. I have it written down in my notes, but I'm not going to pause and try and memorize it. But it's the combination in any GTA game where it's full health and full armor. So, and then it said game over. And, yeah, Kendrick was already letting you know, like, bitch, like, I'm Thanos, and he's just letting you know, like, oh, I'm hitting you with the snap. Again, people, we're going to be hitting you with Marvel references. I'm going to be hitting you with Marvel references up and down this podcast. So he opened up the halftime performance with an unreleased song that people are calling Bodies before sliding into Squabble Up. He then teased Not Like Us. He performed 12 or 13 songs, I can't remember, and he ended their performance with Turn Your TV Off, and I thought that was perfect. Like, he had songs like Euphoria, Peekaboo, like, it was just a great performance. It wasn't even a performance. Like, people were saying, like, oh, it was trash, and oh, it was, we'll get to that in my final thoughts, but it was a great performance. It wasn't my personal opinion. It wasn't my personal best performance, because, you know, we had legends up there like Prince and Michael Jackson, but K-Dot did an amazing job. And, you know, I hope Drizzy got the message, 'cause you can't come back from this. And, yeah, it was amazing. Like, the symbolism and everything. And now we're going to be getting into the final thoughts of the halftime performance. So, I want to start off my final thoughts by saying that anybody that says that Kendrick's performance was trash, or, you know, it was whack, or it was whatever, you clearly are not either a hip-hop fan, or you did not get the symbolism, because how much symbolism this man crammed into 13 minutes was wow. Like, for those of you who do not know, Kendrick Lamar got a Pulitzer Prize for writing, I believe. Let me actually refer back to my notes. Give me a second. So, Kendrick got the Pulitzer Prize in 2018, so he's actually the first Pulitzer Prize winner to perform at the Super Bowl. So that's another accomplishment under his belt. So congratulations to him once again. But the amount of symbolism that was crammed in, like Uncle Sam saying at the beginning, like, welcome to the American game. And, you know, when he started at the beginning with Squabble Up and Samuel Jackson was like, you need to tighten up. And then he started playing all the other songs. And then he was like, oh no, that's too loud, too ghetto. Then he brought SZA out and then they performed Luther and then We Are the Stars. And he was like, that's what America wants to hear. That's more digestible, you know? And I thought that was because he was speaking for the quote-unquote American people. Like, if you saw, like, the symbolism during his performance in Humble when the American flag was split. And just, like, the symbolism for, like, minorities when, like, they're just fighting for, like, their rights that everyone has. And it was a very cerebral performance. And if you didn't catch the context clues that were all taught at a very young age, then it clearly went over a lot of people's heads. And I think that was what Kendrick intended for. Like, you really had to be deep into hip-hop to catch all the references in the Peekaboo performance. Like, if you know, you know. You know, Triple X Tentacion had, you know, a little bit of a beef with Drake. And, you know, K-Dot was basically pointing a finger. Or not pointing a finger, so to speak. But he basically was being like, uh-huh, yeah. And then he was performing on the X button. And, you know, speaking of the X button, so it was brought to my attention today. So, during the performance of Not Like Us, Serena Williams was brought up on stage. That was one of the people that Kendrick brought up. And she was crip walking on the X. Now, I took that as symbolism as because she used to date Drake. If you know, you know. She was like crip walking on his grave. And then it was brought up to me actually today on the day of recording that her sister actually died from a Southside crip gang shooting. She wasn't a crip, but it was just a, you know, she just died in a gang shooting. And I was like, well, that doesn't exactly make sense. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm not a big tennis fan, but come to find out that she did that earlier in her career. And, you know, I looked a little bit into it, and I got some questions, Miss Williams. Another thing, when Kendrick said the revolution is about to be televised, you picked the right time but the wrong guy. For those of you guys who didn't catch that reference, that is actually a reference to Gil Scott-Heron, who was actually a jazz poet who combined like poetry and jazz. And I'm a person who likes jazz. I'm just starting to like now get into expand my love of like jazz more into like, because I used to just stick with like smooth jazz. Now I'm starting to expand my horizons, and I love poetry. I love to write poetry. So I actually found Gil Scott-Heron 2 or 3 years ago, and I actually didn't know that that was a play until I like looked it up and just looked up like all the references that Kendrick Lamar, and that was one of them. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't actually know that. And Gil Scott-Heron, I was like, oh, I know that. That's a poet. Oh, that's interesting. So, and you know, you learn something new every day. So, yeah. And like when he was like, like when he said, this is bigger than music. And they tried to rig the game, and but you can't fake influence. Like, yo, just some of the things that he was dropping, and like when the flag split during the performance, and Humble was like, oh, because it showed like how America was divided, and just the subtle references, and I didn't catch it at first because I had to watch this performance like, I've seen this performance like 15 times, and again, I know I didn't catch everything. Like, I just learned yesterday that they did like hand gestures. I can't see that shit. But when KDOT performed Man at the Garden, when Samuel Jackson was like, oh, you brought your homies with you. Oh, cultural cheat code, scorekeeper, deduct one life. I didn't catch it like right then and there, and then I had to like really watch the whole performance and then go back and listen to Man of the Garden again, and it clicked when I heard the rain in the beginning of the song. I was like, this man's at a cemetery. Oh, and it clicked. And then I had to watch the whole performance, and I was like, damn, like, wow. And yeah, and then the 16 dudes wearing white, they were angels, and damn, dude, like, that hit hard. And it was just, it just hit a real different way, like, watching that performance, and it all just clicked. But let me just say, I ain't ever seen such a malicious grin when you call someone a schmick pedophile. Like, god damn, dude, like, KDOT had the brightest grin on when he was calling out Drake, when he was like, say Drake, he looked at the camera, cheeks, and was like, I hear you like I'm young, and just kept walking, and I was like, damn, dude. And there was a few people that I was talking to, they were like, oh, he can't perform that song with the lawsuit and all that. And so, I don't know if you guys know this, but this was a callback to NWA, because NWA, when they were performing Fuck the Police, they had a lawsuit, or they were told to not perform that song by the FBI, and they performed that song in Detroit, I believe, and were dragged off stage and arrested. And Kendrick did that, but he did it smart. He did it with interjections, and technically he didn't perform the song, he just performed a version of the song. He performed the Super Bowl version of the song, so you know, there was a little bit of a workaround, but everybody got what they wanted, and that was everybody saying A minor. And it was an entire football stadium. And everyone is saying, oh, Kendrick missed, and Drake will be back. You come to find out, like a couple of days later, that there's a possibility that Drake might be performing at WrestleMania, whatever the number is. Like, bro, what? And he's coming out with a new album. Like, all I'm going to say is this, bro. Aubrey, I hope you're listening, because you might want to call either your friend MGK or your friend Beyonce, and they might could give you advice on how to switch up genres, because KDOT hits you with the game over. Like, you can't go anywhere. Like, you paralyzed like Wheelchair Jimmy. You gotta roll out somewhere else, bro. You're not welcome in the rap game no more. You was Terminator. You cooked. Toast. Burnt. No more. Nada. Out of here. Like, you a joke. I mean, just do what the man said. Turn your TV off. But, yeah, the Super Bowl was cool. The halftime performance was cool. Switching gears, though, I got some questions that are going to lead to the next topic. So, for those of you who are listening, do you guys remember reading in the paper in the 80s that Nelson Mandela died in prison? Okay, how about when Luke got the news broken to him by Darth Vader? How did he say it? Was it, "No, Luke, I'm your father," or "No, Luke, I am your father"? Because, yes, people, I am talking about the motherfucking Mandela effect, because this shit is driving me up a goddamn wall, and let me tell you why. Now, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the Mandela effect was created by Fiona Broome, who was a paranormal scientist, who in 2009 discovered that she and a lot of other people were realizing and remembering that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 1980s. And they were realizing that they were wrong because he died in 2013. I remember that. And what's crazy is that I've gone around asking, you know, friends and family, and even my dad remembers reading about Nelson Mandela dying in prison. And I've talked with people like in their 60s, and some of them have said they remember reading about Nelson Mandela dying in prison. Some have said they remember him becoming president of South Africa and dying in 2013. Like, in this universe, apparently, we're living in two different dimensions. Again, I sound like Bruce Wayne with the big pot of spaghetti. So, I'm just gonna run through some of these Mandela effects that some people remember differently, or some people swear up and down that these are the way these are, okay? So, the Berenstain Bears or the Berenstain Bears, okay? Argue in the comments, okay? Is it Looney Tunes? Like, Tunes like T-U-N-E-S, or Looney Tunes like T-O-O-N-S? Because I remember it being with two O's, because why would you spell a kid's cartoon the phonetical way? Come on now. Or why wouldn't you spell it the phonetical way? Like, okay. People will argue up and down that Cruella De Vil always had a Dalmatian coat. Right? She always had a plain fur coat, people. Cruella De Vil is one of my favorite Disney villains. Why would she go through all of this trouble if she already had a spotted puppy coat? Okay? It's like, okay, people argue up and down about the Coca-Cola logo. They argue about the dash, right? They argue about what the I clearly remember the dash being the one where it's like the one in the middle. Clearly I'm wrong. Okay. There's a couple of them that have been bubbling under my skin, and I gotta see what the fuck is going on and what you guys think. All right. Let's talk about Tails, because some people are remembering some very key points of my childhood very wrong, okay? Curious George never had a tail, okay? Stop it. Stop coming up with these shenanigans. Pikachu had a tail. I remember Pikachu having a tail, okay? It had like a little black thing at the end of it. It had like a little black design at the end of it. I remember Pikachu having a tail. Okay? Fruit Loops. Is it spelled how you regularly spell Fruit Loops, or is it spelled F-R-O-O-T? Like how the cereal look, how you would advertise it to kids, because I remember it as a child it being spelled O-O. T, and people argue that it was spelled fruit, like how you spell fruit. Okay, Fruit of the Loom. It had a fucking capicola, or not a capicola. What do you call it? It had one of those things on it. Yeah, a capicola on it. Not a capicola. But that's a fucking meat. Is it a capicola? I think it's a capicola. People, it was cornucopia, not capicola. It was fucking cornucopia, not capicola. Oh, boy. Oh, my. Oh, it's these moments you gotta laugh at. Yeah. Fruit of the Loom always had a cornucopia in it. See, now I'm gonna always remember it. Wait, Fruit of the Loom always had capicola. Fruit of the Loom always had a cornucopia in it, okay? So, now I'm gonna be getting to a couple that are really getting under my skin, okay? So, the newest ones are, I shouldn't say the newest ones because these are a few years old, but okay. So this one is ingrained in my childhood, okay? I'm going to be talking about the Toy Story one, okay? So I clearly remember watching Toy Story countless times, and I remember Woody, the pull-string cowboy, he had, like, phrases built into him. And some of them were like, yeehaw, you know, you're my favorite deputy. Someone's poisoned the water hole, you know? And one of them is, the main one that I remember is, there's a snake in my boot, okay? Boot one, there's a snake in my boot, okay? Now, people swear up and down, and someone sent me this on Instagram, and it literally had me in a rage to where people are saying that I had to watch the movie to see if it was true. And it is. I went back and I watched it, and I heard Woody say, there's a snake in my boots. What the hell? What? That's not even grammarly correct. There'd have to be multiple snakes in your boot. No, this doesn't make sense. Mandela effect has to make this make sense. And another thing, too, like, I clearly remember in Toy Story 3, the time where Andy gives the toys to the little girl, and she's like, that's my cowboy. And I remember this. I remember this clearly because, you know, as a kid growing up with these things, and I was a teenager, and I was damn near in tears when she's like, that's my cowboy. There's a snake in my boot. And when he pulls the string and he says, there's a snake in my boot. And I was like, oh, man. And then he's like, I can't leave without Woody. And yes, and listen, I remember this so clearly, like to the point to where Toy Story is so ingrained in my childhood. I dragged one of my former girlfriends to watch Toy Story 4 in theaters, okay? That's how much it meant to me. I was like, baby, you don't understand. This is Buzz and Woody. Like, this is like Bert and Ernie 2.0. Like, you don't understand. Like, this is how it's supposed to go, baby. Like, it's date night. And come on now. It's a happy ending for the both of us. Like, it's how it's supposed to go. And we wound up seeing it, and I was a very, very happy person. And, yeah, I wasn't happy about how the movie went. And I was like, what? How's this supposed to go? She's like, it's okay. It's okay. I was like, no, Pixar got some explaining to do. But that's a different story for a different time. Another one people love to mix up and mash up, and I guess this is just because the movie Wicked just dropped, which I have yet to see, not going to see because, I mean, I've already read the books, there's really no point to it, is people are convinced that in the original Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch of the West, when she says to the flying monkeys, now fly, fly. People swear up and down that she says, now fly, fly, my pretties, fly. She doesn't actually say that. People are putting two scenes together, which is when she says to Dorothy, I'll get you, my pretties, I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too. And the scene where she's standing on top of the balcony sending the flying monkeys to go get Dorothy and the crew. And she's like, now fly, fly. And then she's like, fly, fly, fly. Yeah, I don't know why we're congealing these two scenes together like that. That is not how this works. This is one of my favorite movies. Do not fuck with it. No, you do not do that. Another thing I'd like to add on to this is the Jordan logo. So everyone's seen the Jordan logo. It's infamous within sneaker culture and pretty much pop culture today. People seem to remember the Jordan logo with Jordan wearing shorts. That he never wore shorts on the logo. I saw this on Instagram and this just made it on the list. He never wore shorts. The logo was based on a photo shoot that he took in the early 90s. I believe it was either 92 or 93. He wore track pants. And he did the photo shoot in track pants. So the logo has always been in pants. I have a feeling that people are confusing the Jordan logo with the Shaq logo, with Shaq shoe logo, and people need to stop that. Like, that's rude. And last but not least, the last two on the list that really I'm just like, really people, you really just have to look them up, is two that are really just synonymous with just pop culture in today. Okay, for one, the Batman symbol. People seem to be getting confused with what the actual Batman symbol is. Okay, people, it is not. Okay, look up the 1989 bat symbol. Okay, that is the bat symbol. Okay, it's not no extra things at the bottom. There's not no block at the bottom. I don't know what you guys are looking at. I don't know what crack we're smoking. Stop it. Okay, and the last one that we're going to be touching on today is the one that is, it's the magic mirror on the wall. Okay, so people that have seen Snow White are confused. They seem to think that the Evil Queen says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? She actually says, magic mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Then he comes up. Then the face comes out and he says, oh, yeah, Snow White, yeah, yeah. People will argue back and forth. They're like, no, she says mirror, mirror on the wall. And it's been ingrained in other movies, like when someone will walk to the mirror and be mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And ever since I was younger, I've always been like, it's magic mirror on the wall. What are they saying? Like, and I always thought that was just like a mockery on Snow White. And then I come to when the Mandela Effect was introduced to me, because the Mandela Effect, when this was first told to me, this was told to me by my uncle. And when he first told this to me, I was like, yeah, okay, well, let's take another smoke. And he told me, and I was like, all right, everyone thinks I'm crazy. Everyone thinks I'm crazy. Then I started to look into it. And then I was like, wait a minute. C-3PO did have a silver leg. Wait a minute. He did say, I am your father. Wait a minute. In the Queen song, Freddie Mercury says, we are the champions of the world. No. Something is afoot here. And, yeah. But I'd like to know what you guys thought. what you guys thought about this episode, what you guys thought about the Super Bowl performance, what you guys thought about the Super Bowl in general, what you guys thought about the Grammys, what you guys thought about the conspiracy theory that I laid down. Also, what you guys think about conspiracy theories in general. What are your favorite conspiracy theories, if you guys follow them? Also, what are your favorite Mandela effect theories as well, if you have any? And what are your opinions and comments on the ones that I have listed in the episode today? And I hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode. Please make sure once again that you guys go like, share, and subscribe wherever you guys are listening. Please make sure you follow the Instagram, the_blindperspective. Remember, it's the red logo that you see that says the blind perspective. My name is Ghost with a 6, and this is me signing off. Live long and prosper. Peace.